Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
8 o'clock hour, and the show of Wales continues on the home of America's team. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Pepe and Carter in the back live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Nate Newton was amazing during the expressway, and we know that this man will be as well. He is the former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I went down a little Dave Campo rabbit hole yesterday, and I just wanted to see what Coach had to say about Deion Sanders back in the day. And he called his retirement a sad day for the National Football League, was the DC for the 5 seasons that Deion was here, said Prime was the best player he ever coached. Quote, people can say what they want about the flash and dash and all that stuff, but he was a pretty darn good football player. The NFL loses a little bit of style without him. Will they get some style back? Let's bring in Coach Campo right now live on the D&M Leasing Hotline on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Sean, RJ, and Bobby. That's a triumvirate right there.
Coach, how have you been? What have you been up to?
Well, doing great. Actually, it was kind of a rough time down here because, you know, I do radio and a little bit of television here in Jacksonville, Florida. And, you know, even though I'm a Cowboy through and through, I'm also a Jaguar, and they struggled this year. So it was a little bit rough doing those post-game shows,
yeah,
those call-in post-game shows this year. But overall, great. I'm staying close to the game, but at the same time, I have a little time to myself as well.
Awesome. Coach, who do they want, and who are you thinking could be a good Jacksonville fit to figure out that Trevor Lawrence situation?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think from what I'm hearing, it's either going to be a young offensive coordinator like Ben Johnson or Joe Brady or someone along those lines, or it's going to be Robert Saleh, a little bit of experience. I mean, that's what we're hearing. But listen, everything is close to the vest. You know that, except in the Jerry Jones world. Everything gets out.
Do you think Trevor has it? Do you or is he kind of... Obviously, he's disappointed, but do you think he has what it takes to be that great quarterback?
Well, he's a little bit of an enigma because I think he's suffered a little bit from, you know, so much notoriety that, you know, whatever he does is not going to live up to what his billing was at this point. I think he's got a tremendous amount of talent. I don't think he's proved it. With some injuries included, but I think he really has the talent to do it. And I think that's why there's so much interest in getting a quarterback whisperer, so to speak, that is a little bit innovative. And, you know, I think that was what the downfall was with Doug Peterson. I think Doug's a great coach, but I think the innovation wasn't there. And I think if they can improve the defense and improve the front, so that they can run the football and stop the run, that will help him with the play action game, that type of thing. So it's still out there. He does have arm talent and is a competitor. We'll see.
Former Cowboys head coach Dave Campo joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, so Coach, the buzz around here in Dallas the last couple days has been about a potential Deion Sanders match with the Cowboys as head coach. Just, you know, as we look at potential of Deion coming here, but also just the trek that he's had going to Jackson State in Colorado, when you were coaching Deion, did you ever get the sense that, hey, I think one day this seems like a path that he'd like to take or something I think he'd be really good at is being a head coach, you know, either at a college program or at the NFL level?
Well, the interesting thing there is that, you know, back in my day, there weren't a lot of ex-players getting into the coaching business because, you know, obviously their work schedule, other than physical, was not the same as a coach. So a lot of guys, and financially, you know, what they did on the playing situation compared to what coaches were making. Now it's a little bit different. The one thing I do know about Deion was one thing. I didn't coach, and Zimmer didn't coach Deion from a technique standpoint or anything like that, because, you know, that was not his strength. His strength was athletic ability, but the one thing people didn't realize, he was one of the smartest players I ever coached. All we did with Deion was say, hey, look, here's who you're covering, study him, and play ball. And really, that is what a coach does. I mean, especially a head coach, he's a guy that understands the game, is willing to work at it, and he studied more than anybody I know. He knew his opponent. He knew, you know, what we were doing defensively. Those are the things that helped him be great along with his athletic ability. So it doesn't surprise me. And he was a leader from the standpoint of what he did. And I think that goes a long way. When he walks into a room today, you know, he walks in with some Super Bowl trophies. He walks in with some great Pro Bowl deals. And he's a tremendous salesman and a marketer. And I think that bodes well, especially in the Dallas, you know, that whole aura in the Cowboys.
Would he be your top selection, number one candidate?
Well, the only thing I would say there is I think there's a little bit of speculation there, guys, because, you know, obviously he's done a good job everywhere he's been, but going from that level to the pro level is a little bit different. Guys, I'm not one to really, you know, say I know everything about being a head coach, because obviously I wasn't as successful as I needed to be. But at the same time, he has the traits because of his ability to sell and to get players there. You know, everybody says, well, you know, it's all about money, but it's not 100% about money. If a player, you know, feels like he is around somebody that's a winner, you know, guys, free agents will go to that. Mm. And I think he brings that to the table. And I think, again, he's a smart guy and he understands the game. And you know, that goes a long way. So to me, do you go with experience? You know, a Kellen Moore that's been in the league for a long time, that's a crapshoot as well. You know, so one thing about Jerry, he likes to splash. And, you know, I could see it working there. But he will have to get some guys surrounding him that helps him for sure make that transition.
Dave Campo joining us here, 105 Through the Fan. All right, so you mentioned the college pro difference. You coached in both. You know, X's and O's aside, is motivating a 20-year-old the same as motivating a 30-year-old? Is the leadership aspect the same there?
You know, I felt especially, you know, when you're in a program that's winning on the college level, you're really basically dealing with guys, even though they're a little younger, that the same guys that you're going to deal with when you get in the NFL, because there's going to be a number of those players, you know, go there. I think there's a little bit more rah-rah in the college level than it is in the pros, because obviously the pros, it's basically a job. But right now with the NIL and all the stuff that's going on in college football, you're getting a pro feeling down there. When I came from the Hurricanes to the Cowboys, I felt I would be successful because I was around guys that had that mentality. And don't get me wrong, we weren't paying guys back then, yeah, although people think we were. But at the same time, they have that you know, winning mentality that you need to go to the next level. So to me, actually, a pro head coach right now is easier than a college head coach from the standpoint that you do have professional athletes. There's not as much necessarily motivation there. But being a college head coach right now, with all they have to do with the NIL and the transfer portal and all that stuff, I would rather be a pro coach than a college coach right now, I guarantee you.
Dave Campo, former Cowboys head coach, had Deion Sanders himself joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Coach, the majority of the fan base, many people in the media say, look, you're not going to win here with Jerry Jones. You're not going to win big enough. He's going to interfere. He needs the attention. Your response to that, and what would you tell the next Cowboys coach if they called you and said, what do I need to know about working with Jerry and Steven?
Well, the one thing I can say is that, you know, you can say whatever you want. Everybody's upset that you don't win in the playoffs. But, you know, look at what the Cowboys have done over the years. Jerry Jones is a winner. I don't care what anybody says about, you know, he has to be the person out front and all that. You know, look at what they've done in the last three, you know, up until this year. You know, 12-5, 12-5, 12-5. That's hard to do in the National Football League. Now, obviously, you're measured by whether you get to the bowl game or not. You know, that's legitimate in a way. But the one thing about Jerry is, I think he's willing to do what he has to do. For example, I don't think he really got real excited about Bill Parcells. You know, not only cooking the, you know, putting the meal out there, yeah, but cooking it. But at the same time, he did it because he thought it was important at a particular time. So I would tell a guy coming in that the one thing that you don't have to worry about, he will not meddle with what you do on the field. But if you can come in and convince him that he should be part of the personnel aspect of things, I think that will bode well, because I think Jerry's changed over the years to where he's not quite as involved in everyday operations as he used to be. I really think it's a good job. I don't know that it's the premier job, because players today or coaches today want to do it all, you know, and the one thing about it is the head coach, in my opinion, and the general manager have to be on the same page. And that's something that those coaches have to convince Jerry with. And I think he's willing to move when he feels like things are not going in the right direction.
Coach, you know, you coached Deion Sanders, but you also coached opposite at practice every day for 4 years, Jason Witten. And Jason Witten has had some buzz about him here, too, that he could potentially get into the coaching level. Maybe he could be a candidate here as the head coach or definitely as an assistant moving forward. What are your thoughts on Jason Witten just as a leader and a guy who could potentially one day make that move into NFL coaching?
Well, I love Jason Witten. I mean, I think Jason Witten is the epitome of what you're looking for in a professional football player. And his leadership qualities, that goes without saying. I think the thing that would probably limit him right now would be experience. And to me, obviously, Deion went from being a high school coach to a college coach and winning everywhere he was. So I can't say that Jason couldn't do the same thing. But going from a high school coach to the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, remember, there's a lot of things involved. As soon as you walk in that door at 8:30 in the morning or whatever time you come in the morning, it's not just about football. It's about all kinds of things. And, you know, for example, Deion got a little bit of that on the college level. Jason hasn't had that at all. When you know, all the things that are involved in being a head coach that is not football is astronomical. And that's why a lot of the coordinators coming in don't necessarily make it, because, you know, they deal with their unit, you know, on the coaching level. And then all of a sudden they're dealing with things on a team level and beyond that, all the other things that are out there. So I think Jason would make an outstanding assistant coach, because I think he has the competitiveness and the smart guy and understands the game, and his work ethic is without question.
Coach, break the tie. RJ says Jacksonville's a great city. Bobby says it sucks.
I think, well, listen, it's a lot. It doesn't suck. Okay, I think it's making improvements all the time, and I think one of the things that would really even give it more of a, I love the people. First of all, the people here are outstanding. There, it's a little bit of South Georgia. You know, they're good people. They love football. All those kind of things. I think a winning Jaguar situation would even up it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the next thing that has to happen.
Coach, it is always an absolute pleasure to hear your voice. Thank you so much for making the time. Enjoy the games and have a great weekend.
Yeah, best of thank you. And thanks for having me on. And best of luck with everything. Hey, you know I'm a Cowboy through and through. And I want to see them successful. One other thing I didn't mention before you guys go off is continuity is a little bit important in the game of football. And the one thing about that, I think Zimmer's defense improved during the course of the season. And they are tight. Deion and Zimmer are tight. So, you know, that might be a factor as well. So anyway, I appreciate it. I love Dallas, and go Cowboys.
You're the man, Coach. Thank you. Dave Campbell on the D&M Leasing Hotline. The Mavs have made up their protesting mind why you may not be going to Walgreens anymore, and is TikTok done this weekend? Next on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Canadians win the draw. Shot, score! It redirected! Lane Hudson let the shot go right off the faceoff. It deflected in. Newhook, and Montreal is in front.
Victory plus with the call. Stars have now lost 2 of 3. After a 7-game win streak, they fall to the Canadiens at the AAC 3-1. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and Bobby with you. Trying to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible. We have an AEW ticket giveaway in the 9 o'clock hour, if you are able, and hopefully sticking around with us. Robo, by the way, he had another goal, put the Stars up 1-0. He has 24 points in the last 22 games.
Not bad work if you can get it.
But Montreal scored two in the third period, one of which was an empty netter with seconds left. And Hintz has been announced as day-to-day after leaving the game in Toronto on Tuesday night. Spittle says he did not skate at all yesterday. So it's now Hintz, Sagan, and Marchment out of your lineup, which is 50% of your top two lines.
Yeah, I mean, look, they pulled the goalie with about two. They pulled Ottawa with about 2.5 to go, and they got that empty netter, like you said, with seconds to play. And this was a situation where if you were to look at just the stats, you would probably think, oh, yeah, I bet you the Stars won that game. You know, they outshot them. They played a really good hockey, but Montreal blocked a ton of shots. And they were all over the ice. It was like they were playing a playoff game.
Yeah, and I mean, the expected goals, according to Money Puck, were 3.5 to 3.1 for Montreal.
There you go. Oh, see? Hey. Money Puck.
Cut him off.
Money Puck.
All right. The Dallas Mavericks, according to Mark Stein, they are ruling out an official protest with the league office because of the Pelicans game. So no protest. You know Mark Cuban's not in control now.
Doesn't it cost money, too?
I don't know.
I think the protest caught, like, I think in order to like, submit a protest, I think they've talked about it costs money.
It's $10,000, I think.
Yeah, and so, like, I guess they're just like, yeah, they're going to be stupid with this. That's not worth just losing 10 grand. Huh.
Meanwhile, Chop, I think you bring up a very important NBA point from last night.
Yep. So last night, what was happening, Bobby, last night?
Some loving in my house.
There you go, right? Well,
what was the cereal?
We were out of milk. I went to the refrigerator. The milk was gone.
Oh, man.
There's a whole bowl of dry cereal on the counter right now.
Use orange juice?
No.
Last night was a matchup.
You better put some water on that damn S, as they say on Friday.
Yeah, that's right. Last night was the 34-5 Cleveland Cavaliers taking on the 33-6 Oklahoma City Thunder.
Wow. A dream record matchup.
Yeah. And, I mean, nobody was going to watch that thing. And that's the problem.
Well, we got to see the ratings.
We do. We do. But the problem here is like...
By the way, that was the 27th double-digit win of the year for the Thunder.
I know.
27 times.
Shea put up 40.
Celtics-like.
Yeah.
MVP. So, MVP. SGA.
Like, casuals are what drive sports, right? The NFL owns the casual fan, right? Casuals don't watch NBA. They don't watch baseball. They'll watch it the playoffs. They'll turn it on when the playoffs roll out, but they're not watching day-to-day. The casual fan can't name two players on the floor last night.
Two players.
They can name two. They can't name more than two. The casual sports fan who doesn't watch baseball, doesn't watch the NBA on a day-to-day basis, they can name Donovan Mitchell, and they know Shea. They can't pronounce Shea's other two names, but they know Shea.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, yeah. And they don't know what the
Caruso.
G... What?
And Alex Caruso.
They wouldn't know him from David Caruso. they don't know what the G and the A are.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem for sports in general that aren't football. Like, imagine college football that you get into. We're halfway through the season now. So let's say you get to the end of October. You're November 1st, October 31st, whatever. And there's two undefeated teams. That is a game you are preparing for all week. And when you get to basketball and baseball, it's just not the same. Like, could you imagine if the Lions and Chiefs played around Halloween this year? Where they were both like 10-1, the build up to that game.
Think about how many people were just plugged into a meaningless Lions 49ers game earlier this year. Just a couple weeks back on primetime.
And like if the NBA Finals are Cleveland and Oklahoma City, that'll get like a Rangers Diamondbacks rating.
Think about how big or how like good Shea's been too. Yeah. Like in terms of just he should be such a natural pull. Somebody threw out this stat the other day. I was floored by it. So he's on track right now to finish with his third straight season of 30 points and 50% shooting and 5 assists. It's him and Michael Jordan, the only two who would have ever done that.
Wow.
And I mean, like, you're talking about just a rare player that is not the draw or the pull that you would expect him to be.
All right, Chop, I need you to help out with my wife's fear factor for the fifth or sixth time. It feels like TikTok is finally going away.
Oh, so you think. It was saved overnight.
By Mr. Beast?
Not by Mr. Beast. The president, who leaves office in 3 days, has decided, so it's supposed to be banned on Sunday. Right. The plan is to...
Oh, I've been prepping.
Yeah?
Oh, I went through my likes. Every single like of a TikTok video I've ever had, I've downloaded it and I've uploaded it to a Google Drive. I got 27 gig worth of TikToks uploaded to a Google Drive right now.
You're psychotic.
Yeah. I love the content. That's great. I love the content, and it disappears forever.
So here's the latest on it, because this thing is ever changing.
Who else is psycho just like him is Jared Sandler. Sandler's called me twice in the past couple days. I haven't picked up because I've been busy with Ava at home. And I'm like, yo, I got people here also working on the house. I got a plumbing issue that can't be figured out. What's going on? He's got, I just want to talk NFL. He said, I said, I don't have time. I don't have time to be talking to NFL right now, randomly off air. He sends a damn essay. Were you on this?
Yeah. I opened it. I went, this is too long. I'm not reading
He writes up an NFL essay just to be able to talk about the games. He's sending me Texas Ranger thoughts while floating on one of those little boats in Italy on a romantic trip with his wife. I'm like, get your head out of this.
You need to give him the Nate Newton line. I don't talk football for free anymore.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So the ban is supposed to take place on Sunday. The president announced he is not going to enforce the ban. He is going to leave that to the next president, which is President Trump, who comes in on Monday. So it's been given a little bit of a stay of execution.
Because Trump has said he wants to keep it, he wants to delay this a while and get a chance to look at it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, so you're safe for now. You're safe for now. But, like, you know, the whole thing is, you know, what's going to happen here, and where do you go if they do ban it? You know, TikTok is banned in China in its American form, in its international form. They have a separate TikTok. Because they don't want the poison that has become TikTok.
The algorithm, I don't know what, I would think that algorithm would be worth so much money to so many different people.
Everybody, so good.
The Instagram algorithm sucks. The Twitter algorithm sucks. Facebook, where they're always putting stuff in front of you that you're like, I don't care about this. Let me see my timeline in regular order. TikTok is the one that has succeeded in, oh, I don't need to see the people I'm following in order. I just want to see whatever you're going to put in front of my face. That algorithm consistently, you watch a couple videos, like a couple, it'll put stuff in front of you that it's like, oh yeah, I wanted to see this.
But the same people that run TikTok also run
China, yeah.
No, so different from Facebook and Instagram?
Facebook and Instagram, that's Meta. They're together.
Okay.
TikTok is its own thing. And
so they have it more figured out.
It's like when the AAF went down, American Football League, whatever it was. The thing that people wanted to, when people were talking about buying that league, what they wanted was like the GPS tracking technology and the betting technology that they had.
Yeah.
And it's similar to that, where I think people would have interest in TikTok just so they could get access to some of the algorithm stuff, yeah, and figure out how they can repurpose it.
What's going on at Walgreens?
Walgreens, this is such a great headline. I loved this one yesterday because it was on Reddit's Not the Onion, where they take, these are real headlines that sound like they're almost onion headlines. Walgreens says locking up products to prevent shoplifting hurts sales. The Walgreens CEO, Tim Wentworth, said in Walgreens Boots Alliance first quarter earnings call Tuesday that when you lock things up, you don't sell as many of them. We've kind of proven that pretty conclusively. So they say that looking at all of their different data and different things that have been related to, all right, let's prevent some shoplifting, let's lock certain items away, that sales for those products then go down tremendously, which sounds a little counterintuitive. It's loss prevention. You're trying to protect things. Why would sales go down? But this is absolutely correct for me from a psychological perspective. If I see something locked behind you, I'm not going to ask an employee to go get it.
I agree.
It's a pain in the butt.
If I'm on the fence about buying it and then I see it's locked up, I'm not asking to get somebody to unlock it.
I
hate it.
What if you're, especially if you're buying something that's like personal or embarrassing?
Yes.
It's like you got to ask, hey, can I get the fungal cream?
Oh, Kristen. No. Kristen didn't want to buy. There was one time, Kristen obviously doesn't want another baby. Kristen was not on her birth control at the time. So Kristen went through the store and was like, I need to pick up some other protection. And she saw they were locked behind a case. And she was like, I'm not asking for these. I'm not asking for somebody to come up here and unlock this case. She's like, it just, because she was also buying like beer. I'd asked her to pick up beer. So she's like, that seems so impermanent. I'm not asking somebody, hey, can I get a six pack of beer and a box of cotton? She's like, that makes me look like I'm just like a tramp walking out of that store.
But what do you lose more money with?
Right.
It's people not buying or the stealing.
Right. So now you're gonna gain the money back that people buy, but then what does that offset by theft?
I want to finish this off by upping y'all street cred. You have both written and talked about this Drake Kendrick thing that's happening.
This is so pathetic. Drake is, I'm ashamed to have ever been a fan of Drake. I mean, he still makes good music. It's like mentioning a canceled individual, Chris D'Elia. Chris D'Elia always used to have the bit where he'd say, his music's so soft. He's like, I mean, I like it. I like it. But you know what I'm saying. And now we know how soft he is. This man is filing a lawsuit against United Music Group for defamation over the way they promoted Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us. That this caused emotional distress. It spread defamatory things, including he's going after the way that UMG didn't have copyright notices to take the song down off of streams like Kai Cenat and guys like that, where it's like, well, these guys, they're able to play the song, and then UMG is not coming with copyright notices like they normally would for their music, and that only added to spreading defamation about me. It's like, Drake, dude, we are a long way from Tupac and Biggie and things being settled with gunfire and rap.
The pen now.
Now it's with lawsuits over emotional lawsuits and psychiatrists.
The pen is mightier.
That is the era of rap we are in now. This is such a great song, by the way.
It really is a good song. It's tremendous.
Laura walks around the house. She will go, wop, 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 wop.
We have someone I think we all respect on TV echoing Cowboy fans. He's saying, it doesn't matter who is hired. It's not getting fixed. That's next in Below the Belt on the Home of the Boys next. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
There may be one team that the Cowboys will never pull off a trade with ever again, and it could be the New York Jets if they hire this GM candidate. Lewis Riddick, who is interviewed recently, and his name has been kind of thrown around. He actually got the endorsement from Deion Sanders.
Is it?
When the news came out that Lewis Riddick was going to interview, Deion Sanders quote tweeted that and was like, NFL, do right, hire this man, he's brilliant, you know, yada, yada, yada. They were teammates for a couple years, and he was actually a personnel guy with Washington, I think, while Deion was there.
Oh.
But Lewis Riddick, been with Washington, been with Philadelphia. I don't know personally about y'all. I love him. I love hearing him talk about football and structure and everything else.
His delivery is really the thing that jumps out to me. He sounds
so
authoritative.
Measured. Yeah.
He sounds forceful. He sounds like he has 1,000,000,000% conviction.
And he sounds like a football professor. Like he's just he's here to educate you, and it's not talking down to you. It's authoritative, like you mentioned, but it's also you feel like you're getting so much knowledge just in the way that he's, you know, telling you everything. So he was on with Kevin Clark for the This Is Football show, which, man, that ever since it went over to Omaha Productions, they are getting big guest after big guest every single day. That's been
Garrett.
Yeah, that's been a big link. And I think Kevin Clark does a good job just kind of letting people fill that space and give their extended answers. So he had asked Lewis Riddick yesterday, you know, hey, this Cowboys job that's coming open, this head coaching job, how do the Cowboys approach this? What do they need? What is it that they need to do to fix what they've got going on there? And Lewis Riddick gave a bunch of extended answers that I wouldn't think that if he ends up being a GM, the Cowboys would love, especially since Jerry is the GM. But this is the first clip here. This is Lewis Riddick weighing in on what Jerry Jones needs to do to fix the Cowboys.
Well, I think first and foremost, you tell him you're going to have to take a back seat. You're going to have to step out of the limelight. You cannot be a guy who ultimately, whether it be players, whether it be coaches, whether it be administrators, whether it be support staff, can always come to kind of circumvent what is the chain of command or what you would think would be a nice, traditional, clean, linear chain of command, how they could circumvent that and kind of throw things off the rails. So that's the first thing that he would have to do and have to be willing to do. And I think that's when the conversation kind of then morphs into what kind of head coach does he need? Does he need someone like Deion? Could he handle someone like Deion Sanders? Could he handle someone like Bill Belichick? Could he handle a strong general manager? As long as he is where he is at in the hierarchy, and look, he's always going to be at the top of the hierarchy because he's the owner, but as long as he is kind of like involved in the day-to-day decision-making process and the final authority ultimately rests with him, not from a big picture perspective, but from like a daily perspective, the culture is never going to change because ultimately people know that they can probably leverage their individual relationships with you in order to get things that they want that maybe aren't in the best interest of the team.
Do we have recent examples of knowing that players have gone around Mike to Jerry? Or is that just another myth that we love to hang on to? We know that, like, Jerry...
It definitely happened in the past.
I mean, Micah talked about sitting at Super Bowl and getting his personnel ideas out to Jerry last year.
What do you mean?
Micah talked about sitting there at the Super Bowl and talking for 3 hours with Jerry about, hey, this is what I think we need to do with personnel.
Oh, Micah.
Yeah. Micah had talked about that. I'll tell you a guy who I know.
I mean, I don't know if I have a problem with that.
A guy who tried it, who tried to get around authority. I don't know how successful it was, but I know the stories. It was a weird year and we were all kind of removed from it. Alden Smith used to try to do that. Alden Smith used to try to work around the coaching staff completely to get messages up there. But I don't know if they were welcoming
McCarthy,
to that.
If I was McCarthy, I would have set up like a DFW security camera like outside Jerry's office just to see the notification of what players are walking
in.
Oh,
yeah,
there.
He did. His name was Rob Davis. He was an assistant coach that the Cowboys fired. the idea of a good culture, he mentions there, it's going to be impossible with Jerry's current structure.
I don't know if he's ever going to be willing to do that. Because he has pretty much said in recent days, as a matter of fact, and I'm paraphrasing, look, I bought this team so I can run the damn thing. I bought this team so I can be involved. I bought this team so I can make the decisions, not because I can then turn it over and let someone else make the decisions and do all the fun stuff. There's a reason why I bought the thing. You know, I bought the job that I have. And when you think of it that way, you're sitting there and you're going, wow, I've never heard an owner say that before, quite honestly. I've never. And he never said, I'm qualified for it. I'm the best man for it. I have proven that I'm the best man. What he said was, I bought it, so it's mine. So I think when you think about it in that way, this is always one of those conversations where you feel like you're like yelling out into this vast, you know, black hole where the sound will just travel forever and no one's ever going to hear it. Because as long as that mentality exists with him, I don't know if culture is something you'll ever be able to get your arms around. And you know, Kev, how hard it is to really kind of get your arms around that entire concept. Yeah. Anyway, what is culture? How do you build culture? How do you maintain it? In that kind of situation, it's almost impossible unless he were to step back.
With that thought, because Sean, I know you said culture is a big part for you and that's why you want CEO. If you have to resign yourself to the fact that culture will always be broken no matter who you bring in here because of this, should that be a secondary trait when we talk about Kellen Moore? Should that matter as much if you say, even if you bring in the right guy, culture's never going to be fixed here?
Well, I'm hoping that the Deion possibility or Witten possibility like tames the Jerry thing a little bit.
Parcells throwback, kind of like when Jerry was like, for this period, for this coach, I got to step back.
Yeah, or, you know, the most special people, I think, in terms of personality and charm, they can find a way to break through and get their way with someone in their own way of doing it.
Inception. Plant the idea in their head a little bit, make them think it was their idea.
Yeah, psychological warfare.
Yeah. Jodie Foster movie? Jodie Foster.
That was a Christopher Nolan film with Leonardo DiCaprio.
My wife always says this with me, like, oh, you're always playing these games, you know? You're always, like, trying to mentally this and that. And I'm like, yeah, I think it's fun.
It's one of the reasons we connect so well. It's those mental games we love to play. Yeah. We have an appreciation for our sickness.
And look at how I failed to tame you and get you in line. Yeah, but
you didn't tame me the other night with my emails.
I feel like psychologically I would hope that Deion knows the way Jerry works. And, you know, Deion could work with that. But it's a good question. If you put culture to the side, because it's never going to change, does that change your mind about Kellen? You know, I would have to know how everyone in the locker room would feel about just following Kellen Moore with his more timid, calm leadership because of his intelligence.
Yeah, like, I think that
because we're all thinking Aaron Glenn, culture. We're thinking Robert Saleh, maybe culture. You know, he looks the part, he sounds the part, but you also get defensive coordinator specialties. You know, for me, Jim Harbaugh is going to be culture. If that's not going to be a thing, then we should factor it in.
I think the option is, so let's just say, because there's been talk, you know, the Cowboys let Dan Campbell get out of the building. He wanted to be a coach here, yada, 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 right?
Yeah, Mike McCarthy didn't want to hire him.
Dan Campbell, I don't believe
Dan. Are you being serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe Dan.
For 720 yesterday.
I don't believe Dan Campbell.
Got to drop it in pockets. There were a lot of people listening.
I don't believe Dan Campbell would have been able to be the same coach he is in Detroit here.
Yeah.
He's empowered as you are in charge of this organization.
You're the authority.
And here it's not the case. So it's almost like that kind of culture figure is less important here. I think you need somebody who can talk back to Jerry and push him back. I think Witten is and Dion would be better at that than anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, Kellen is, I think Kellen, the biggest hurdle Kellen would have to deal with here is he's coaching players that were teammates of his.
I'll tell you what.
You know what I mean? Like, Kellen goes to Philadelphia. He wasn't a teammate of anybody. He could just go in. He's a coach. He goes to LA. He's just a coach. Here, I do think it's a little bit more difficult when you're a former teammate of somebody that becomes a coach of that player. It's a little weird.
He has stood up, by the way, to Jerry before.
Who's
like
that?
We talked about yesterday. Kellen. Kellen did it when he asked out of here. He was under contract. He said, "You need to let me out."
Oh,
and like I mean that's standing up in a boardroom across from Jerry.
Let me ask you all this. I know what the public's answer is going to be. Do you think of Jerry Jones more as an observer or an interferer?
I think that answer has evolved over time. I think now he's more of a observer and executive decision maker based on insight.
What's
your point?
What's your answer?
Okay, so like you mean like does he interfere with the day-to-day coaching?
Just more of an observer or interferer?
I think he's more of a pest.
Okay.
Like a nuisance. He doesn't interfere. He doesn't just observe.
Yeah.
He's more like his presence interferes. Okay. He might not.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But his presence interferes.
So what I'm trying to get to, this is a guess, I don't know. I think Jerry's more of an observer. I'm not totally convinced that a brand new culture person can't implement their system here. I'm not totally convinced that you can't have the culture you want with Jerry here. In my opinion, I don't know for a fact.
By the way, a good point here. Chop, you brought up the whole teammate thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Eatman listening, he just texted over. He said Dak would actually be, assuming DeMarcus Lawrence, Ezekiel Elliott, Zach Martin, those guys are all going to be departing here. Dak would be the only teammate he has left that actually played with him. And
that's fair.
Is somebody that he's had success coaching with. All right, we're going through this audio from Lewis Riddick. Sean, you mentioned the Dion. Would he potentially be able to take a step back if it's Dion or if it's Belichick? Like, would it matter who that is? Lewis Riddick talked to that idea and said that if you are going to bring those guys in here, you absolutely have to let those guys be themselves.
And see, then from there, you really do need to have a singular voice.
Yeah.
You need to have someone who is, like I said earlier today on TV, who is the tip of the spear. You have to understand who exactly that person is. And if you want someone like Dion, if you want someone like Bill, I don't care what they say privately or what they say to maybe some of their media contacts when they say, hey, I'm willing to step back.
Yeah.
I'm willing to share. No, they're not, because that's not who they are. And that's not who you want them to be. And I think as long as you trust what their vision is, what their philosophical underpinnings are, what their communication style is, what their ability to gain trust, to display competency, to positively impact people, then you let them do it. You let them go at it. Because then all it does is it just kind of trickles down. It trickles down. You let them put their plan in place. You let them be a consistent voice of reinforcement day after day after day. Lots of consistency. Consistency then breeds trust. Mm-hmm. As long as they're, you know, that they're competent and that they're impacting players, more and more players buy in, more and more players want to come.
And there was one point here, and we don't have time to play the last cut here because it's a little longer, but he mentions that he said from his own experience, like him talking about like unified vision and unified voice is important. And he mentions it from personal experience. He said, look, Jerry knows this works because it worked with Jimmy. So he's seen it work before. He knows what he needs to do. Does he want to let go of the fun? Because he said, for me in Washington, when we were there in Washington, we started building something with Marty Schottenheimer when Schottenheimer was allowed to be the singular voice.
I was there for that, right alongside my guy, Sonny Jurgensen.
And he said it got derailed because Dan Snyder was like, but this isn't fun.
This isn't fun.
I want to have fun again. And he got involved ruined it.
RJ would be a toxic owner because he'd be an awful owner because he always writes in the emails, I'd rather lose fun than win boring.
He's
the Dan Snyder of the fan.
He's calling down from the owner's box to go, run a flea flicker. Yeah. Give me a reverse.
No. I am hands off. But I agree. I don't want to win running the football at 10-6. I want to win 45-44.
Let's pick the teams that actually matter this weekend. Your official divisional round picks and RJ's pigskin degenerate final hour of the week next on The Fan.